trees. Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. We change gears now today from the Christmas episodes to getting into New Year's episodes. I want to apologize for the last few days. My Podomatic, the host of my podcast, was down and I couldn't post new episodes for most of New Year's Eve and Christmas. So everything got a little delayed, so I had to post a bunch of stuff. But we're pretty much caught up. I was going to share a few other things, but anyway, that's all right. For those of you who didn't catch last night's Jack Benny, and you probably should, I don't usually run it on Saturday. It was actually Thursday night's episode, but I didn't get a chance to really put it out there until yesterday because of all the problems. And so I thought I would list put it on last so that most people would get it. And so you can see hear that episode. It was a very neat shopping episode because it was one from 70 years ago this week. And Kenny Baker, who of course had left the show a year or more earlier, came back as a guest. He's just on the last 5 minutes or so. But it's a nice little piece with Mary and Jack and Kenny Baker all talking to each other it's just nice to hear him back on the show. They often, when they were in New York, which they were in this case, of course, when they did the show in New York, which they did different times each year, they usually would interface with Fred Allen's cast, either have Fred Allen on Jack's show, which most often happened, or Fred Allen would have Dennis or Jack or Rochester or Phil on his show. And so they would kind of be more than just bantering back and forth, also have switching characters back and forth, which was kind of fun. And the last couple weeks, last week on Fred Allen's show, he had the bodyguard from Jack's show be on his show, do a little guest spot. And then, of course, this week, Kenny Baker shows up on Jack's show, which is pretty neat. I think he shows up another couple of times throughout the years, but not too often. And, of course, he shows up because he was on the Fred Allen show at this time 70 years ago. He was a regular, so it was easy for him to, probably Jack, to work out a deal with Fred and with Kenny to come on the show. So it's kind of a unique shopping episode, so I hope you listen to that or download it or whatever. Now, today, earlier, we had Phil Harris and Alice Faye's New Year's episode. I hope you listened to that. In case you haven't been listening to Phil Harris and Alice Faye, one, they're really funny shows, and two, they're some of the clearest, nicest-sounding shows they put out. Probably the two nicest shows for audio clarity I put on are probably Phil Harris's show and Bing Crosby's show on Mondays. And really, it's really good that those are the two clearest shows because they feature the most music that I want to hear and hopefully you want to hear of any of my shows. And so, if I had a choice, I guess I would say I would want those in the highest quality, which we have, which is great. Speaking of Bing, I hope you listened to Monday's Bing Crosby that featured the whole Crosby family in 1950, which was a great episode. And then earlier today I posted the episode with just his son Lindsay performing with him when Lindsay was 13 years old. And that's Lindsay does just such a nice job in that episode. It's just a great episode to listen to. So if you're looking for more Christmas spirit, listen to that episode. And Bing Crosby is so good in his Christmas episodes, and so is Bob Hope, and so I wanted to share some of those this last week. And, of course, Jack's shopping episodes are always great, so I shared some of those. Tonight we have something, it seems like everybody loves the shopping episodes, right? This one breaks the fans a little more down the middle. This is the New Year's Fantasy episode, or New Tenant episodes, as they're called. And it kind of is a review of the year in a funny, entertaining way. And Jack did them for many, many years, like he did the shopping episodes for many, many years. Not every year, but a lot of the years. This is one of the final ones. There's this one. And then 2 years from now, there's one more for radio. And then there's one on television that is a delightful television episode. It's available on some of the different sets that are out there. And the television episode goes through an actual radio-type script where they're holding scripts. They are, it shows them on camera, the sound effects person running the sound effects. It has Mel Blanc doing some of his vocal things with a microphone. So it's just a really fun television episode, even if you're not a big fan of The New Tenant or New Year's Fantasies. Now, if you're a fan of those as well, doubly good. So for me, it's fantastic. It's one of my all-time favorite Jack Benny television episodes. Tonight's New Tenant is a fun one in that it covers a lot of interesting ground. It's during the beginning of the Korean War, so they hadn't had the New Tenant in a while, but I think they felt like they needed to have it back. It talks about World War II a little bit, and then, of course, the Korean conflict. And it the other thing is, they had just recently lost Al Jolson, and so the end of it is kind of a tribute to Al Jolson. It's interesting that Jack doesn't ever say Al Jolson's name. He just describes Al Jolson, and Al Jolson was such a well-known performer that you didn't even need to say his name. You could just say a few things about him, and everybody would know that you were talking about Al Jolson.
65. The Jack Benny Program, transcribed, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky, strike today.
I've made a resolution, friends, to get more smoking fun. I've switched to milder Lucky Strike for 1951.
Out the old, ring in the new, a lucky year 'twill be, for we know fine tobacco counts an LSMFT.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky, strike today.
Friends, are you happy with your brand? Here's why I ask. A recent 38-city survey shows that millions of smokers are not happy with the cigarette they're now smoking. Now, if this is true of you, and you want to be happy, go lucky. You see, fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you both perfect mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. Everything you want in a cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. Yes, every Lucky you light gives you complete smoking enjoyment. That happy blending of perfect mildness and rich taste. So be happy, go lucky. Start with a carton today.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky, strike today.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, in a few short hours, it will be 1951, and another year will have passed into history. Yes, as the saying goes, time and tide wait for no man. So now we bring you a man who hasn't tried his luck with tide, but who has licked time, and here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. Now, Don, step away from the microphone and let Phil get on.
But, Jack...
Don, I said step away from the microphone and let Phil on.
But, Jack, why do you want Phil on so early?
Because this is New Year's Eve, and if we don't get him on fast, we may not have him at all. Believe me.
Now, wait a minute, Jackson. I heard what you said, and that may be true of the old Phil Harris, Harris the ne'er-do-well.
I see.
But I want you to know that the leopard has changed his spots.
Really, Phil?
Yes. For the year 1951, I'm going to be a new man. I'm going to spend more time around the house, devote myself to gardening. And who knows, someday my petunia bed may be the envy of the entire community.
Phil,
there is nothing more soul-satisfying than planting a seed. Watching the little plant push its tender leaves through Mother Earth and blossom into a fragrant flower.
Phil, let me look at something there, will you?
A colorful bloom lifting its dew-kissed petals toward the warmth of the morning sun. Nature in all its glory.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Phil, you've got a script from Life Can Be Beautiful.
Oh.
Here's our script.
Well, here I am a bum again.
Yeah.
Jackson, tonight are we going
wait,
to
wait till I walk back to my microphone. Now cut that out! Musicians.
Jack, they were whistling at me.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mary.
Happy New Year, Don.
Same to you, Mary.
Happy New Year, Phil. Phil? Phil, what are you daydreaming about?
Have you noticed the rich crimson colors of the poinsettias this year?
Phil, put down that script.
What script? I'm auditioning for a seed company.
Well, not now. We have a very special sketch to do tonight.
Oh, Jack.
What?
I got a letter from Mama this morning, and she wants me to thank you for the Christmas present you sent her.
Oh, good, good. Your mother, what does the Harriet Craig of Plainfield have to say?
I've got it right here. I'll read it to you. My darling daughter, Mary, just a few lines to let you know that we had a wonderful Christmas and hope you had the same. Yeah. Please thank Jack for the present he sent us. It brightened up our whole Christmas.
What did he send them, Mary?
A light bulb.
60 watt.
Tell Jack we appreciate it very much, and it goes with the socket he sent us last year.
Yeah.
We had the whole family here for dinner on Christmas Day. And your cousin Martha came with her new husband, who is quite famous. He once wrote Lincoln's Gettysburg Address on the head of a pin.
Well.
I know a lot of people have done it before, but he's the only one who ever did it with a typewriter.
Well, now that's ridiculous. What else, Mary?
We've had a terrible cold spell. And has been causing a lot of damage on the farm. For the last few weeks, we've been getting nothing but broken eggs.
Broken eggs?
The ground is so cold, the hens are laying them standing up.
Gee. Your mother's really going tonight, isn't she?
No other news, so we'll close now. Wishing you and Jack a very happy New Year. Your loving mother, Mama.
Say, Mary.
Wait a minute, Jack. There's more.
Oh.
P.S. Mary, I heard the program where you said grass reek instead of grease rag. Mm-hmm. How could you make a mistake like that when your sister Babe runs one?
You know, Mary, one thing about your mother. Come in. Well, look who's here. Well, hello, Dennis.
Do you mind if I sing my song right away? I'm in a hurry.
In a hurry? What for?
This New Year's Eve, Bub, I gotta keep rolling.
What?
Wanna have a quick one with me, Phil?
Dennis!
Step aside, kid.
Dennis, what's come over you?
Pucker up, Liv, I'm gonna hang one on you.
Dennis. Dennis. What happened to you?
When I got off the bus, I bumped my head.
Oh.
It feels so good. I hope I can get the same bus going home.
The I hope so.
It was a sunset bus.
Look, look, Dennis.
Once I did it on the Wiltshire bus. What a hangover.
All right. Now, hold it. Dennis, what did you say when you first came in here?
Oh, I said, can I sing my song now? I'm in a hurry.
Look, kid, I heard your song at rehearsal and the orchestra was out of tune.
Hold it, Scrooge. Hold it.
Scrooge?
Look, Jackson, you can stop being sarcastic because in 1951, I'm making a lot of changes to improve the band. I'm adding some new musicians.
Really?
Yep. I'm adding another pianist, two violinists, a clarinetist, a harpist, and a chiropodist.
A chiropodist?
Yep. He was with Guy Lombardo for 3 years, 2 years with Wayne King, 4 years with Kay Kaiser.
Phil, a chiropodist is someone who works on people's feet.
He is?
Certainly, don't you ask questions?
Jackson, when a fella tells you he's Petrillo's cousin, we band leaders don't pin him down.
Oh. Well, Phil, this new man will have a picnic with your band. They never wear shoes anyway. How they can snap their toes when they roll those dice is beyond me. You know, boys, Phil, these boys of yours are absolutely amazing. But lucky for you, the phone rang because I had three more that were pips in here. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Barry, this is Rochester.
Rochester, I didn't expect to hear from you. I gave you New Year's Eve off. Are you at home?
No, I'm just reporting in from Central Avenue.
Oh, you've already started your evening, huh? Well, where are you now?
Well, right now I'm at the Esquire Club, but we've got a lot more places to go before midnight.
More nightclubs?
Yeah, and you ought to see the way me and my friends are dressed. Top hat, white tie, and track shoes.
Track shoes?
This is New Year's Eve. We can't waste time in transit.
Oh.
We came in this club so fast we spiked the doorman.
Well, Rochester, I hope you have a real good time tonight. Are you with Susie?
No, I'm with Eloise.
Eloise? Hey, she's a new one, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, you like her, huh?
Boss, when she smiles, she looks like a Los Angeles landlord the day they signed D-Control.
Oh.
That living again, eh?
Never mind that. Now, look, Rochester, as I said before, I want you to have a lot of fun tonight, but don't overdo it. When do you think this party will end?
Well, there's no set time, boss. People just go home as their birthdays come up.
What?
Mine's in June, so don't wait up for me.
Oh, no, you don't. You'll be back home tomorrow, and that's final. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rochester. Gee, Rochester is so fortunate. New Year's and his day off come at the same time. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since this is New Year's Eve, we are going to revive an old custom and present another.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Don.
Before you do the sketch, I think we ought to have a commercial.
A commercial, by all means. Is the Sportsman Quartet here?
Oh, yes, Jack, and they prepared a number that's quite appropriate for the new year. It's all about New Year's resolutions.
Well, that's very clever. I was afraid they'd have something about the 4th of July in here. Go ahead, boys. Let's hear it.
We resolve when playing golf to never lose our temper. We'll stop and smoke and count each stroke we promise to remember. Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
When my wife demands a new fur coat just like her cousin, I'll light a lucky, take a puff and say, let's buy a dozen.
When the phone awakens me some morning from my slumber, I promise not to blow my top and sorry, pal, wrong number.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Every
everyone is making resolutions to reduce. But as for me, I just can't see that it would be much use.
Be hippy, go lucky, be hippy, go lucky strike. Be hippy, go lucky strike today. One more year has come and gone, and Benny's feeling fine. When his toupee is old and gray, he'll still be 39. Here's a resolution every one of you can make. Be full of cheer throughout the year, and then, for goodness sake, be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Very good, Don. Wonderful. And sportsman, Happy New Year.
Happy
New Year.
Don, they talked. They talked. This is wonderful. Hey, come over here, fellas. Mary, say Happy New Year to them.
Happy New Year, boys.
Happy
Year. New.
Oh, darn it, the tenor got in the wrong place. Maybe we'll get it right next year. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I started to say, since this is New Year's Eve, we are going to revive an old custom and present our New Year's fantasy entitled The New Tenant, or Goodbye 50, Hello 51. Now, I will play the part of the old year, 1950. And Don, you will be the world.
Oh, Jack, every time you do one of these fantasies, you make me play the world. Just once, I'd like to be the little New Year.
You play the part of the little New Year? Don, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? Why? I could wear a diaper, couldn't I?
Don, you not only can't wear a diaper now, but there's a great element of doubt in my mind that you ever could. So you'll play the part of the world. Just come dressed in your latitudes. Or if it's cold, wear your longitudes. Now, let's see.
Jack.
What?
How come you're getting most of the jokes in the program today?
My writer did that instead of buying me a Christmas present. Cheap guys. Now, Phil, you will play the part of Uncle Sam, and Mary, you'll be Uncle Sam's wife, Columbia. Now, you and Uncle Sam have 48 children.
48 children?
Wait till Alice hears about this.
It's only a play. Now, Dennis, I have a very difficult part for you.
We have?
Yes, you will be several of the foreign countries in the United Nations, such as France.
Oui, oui.
England.
Rather.
Mexico.
Buenas noches, señor.
And Russia.
How do you do?
Now, Dennis, this is a very serious play, so let's get started. As the curtain rises, the old year, 1950, is in his room packing, and Columbia is helping him. Curtain. Music. Oh, Columbia. Columbia, will you come here a minute, please?
Well, what do you want, 1950?
Give me a hand with my packing, will you? Got to get out of here by midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Oh, yes. Little 51 will be here soon.
Yep. Soon as I'm packed, I'll be on my way. Sure wish I could take that television set with me.
Why?
That Faye Emerson. Wow! Say, Columbia, where's your husband, Uncle Sam? Like, say goodbye to him.
Oh, he's meeting with the UN again. There's so many things for him to straighten out these days.
Yeah, but Sam's been in a lot of tough situations before, and he's always come out all right. Well, almost got the suitcase filled. Now, let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, I want to take some of this music. Irene, good night, Irene. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night. Yep, gonna take that one with me. If Irene don't want to go to sleep, why force her? Now, let's see. Yep. Guess I got about everything.
Hiya, Rube.
Hiya.
What was that?
Oh, one of them flying saucers. Now, let's see. Yes, sirree. Guess I've packed about everything.
Well, look who's here. It's Uncle Sam.
Hello, Sam.
Howdy, Columbia. I just dropped in to say goodbye to 1950.
Right nice of you, Sam, coming to say goodbye to me, considering all the trouble I gave you.
Yep, you've sure been a rough year.
Well, I know I made some mistakes, but...
Mistakes? Right off the bat, you froze up my son, Florida. Then you practically ruined me with the coal and railroad strikes. And, brother, what you done to Notre Dame?
Be too hard on 50, Sam. He did his best.
Well, thanks, Columbia. Tried, anyway. Well, I better get going.
Say, don't forget to say goodbye to my 48 kids.
I won't. They're my favorite little... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Columbia, how come you're sitting there knitting?
Oh, ain't she told you?
Told me what?
We're expecting two more, Hawaii and Alaska.
Well,
it's kind of tough knitting woolen underwear and grass skirts at the same time.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Hello, everybody.
Well, well, if it ain't the world.
Hello, world. How's the universe treating you?
No, I don't know.
Say, world, you don't look too happy.
Well, I haven't been feeling so well lately. You remember how sick I was from 1914 to 1918?
Uh-huh.
Then I had a relapse from 1939 to 1945.
Yep, I heard about it, but I thought you were all over that.
A few months ago, I suddenly developed a big pain around my 38th parallel.
Well, why don't you go see a doctor?
I did, and he knew what was wrong with me as soon as he took my blood count. Too many red cells.
Feel a lot better if they'd get something accomplished downstairs in the UN.
Say, they're having a meeting there now. Let's open the door and listen.
Order, order. Let's have a little order for the next speaker.
Look, the Russian delegate is getting up.
Yeah.
People of the world, gentlemen and comrades, we of the Russian Soviets wish for peace, and we are prepared to make a fair compromise. All we ask is a small buffer area. Of course, this would mean moving the 38th parallel slightly. We would like to move it somewhere around Alabama and Mississippi.
Now we would like to hear from the
delegate. I am not finished with my speech yet. Since I am here in America, I want to tell you the terrible things I have seen with my own eyes. Peasants are forced to ride in automobiles. In California, some of the peasants are even forced to ride with the top down. And they are wearing dark glasses so nobody should see how much they are suffering. And tomorrow in the concentration camp they call the Rose Bowl, 100,000 people will be forced to huddle together to watch a football game. That is why I say that...
Just a moment.
What is wrong?
Why is it, Mr. Russian delegate, that every time we discuss a matter here, you stall and delay the debate for weeks and months so it never ends?
Well, if you must know, the longer I stay here, the less time I have to spend in Russia.
Close the door, Sam. I've heard enough. Well, Columbia, it's almost midnight. Better get my bags together and... Say, the New Year's coming a few seconds early.
What do you mean, old-timer?
Look out the window. Here he comes now without any clothes on. Just a cloth wrapped around him. Hey, are you the New Year?
No, I'm on my way home from Santa Anita.
Doggone, I thought sure that was him. Well, let's see. I got my bags packed, got my hourglass. I guess I'm... Hey, that must be him now. Come in.
Hi, Rube.
Doggone, there goes that saucer again.
I didn't see anything.
Neither did I.
Well, some people do and some don't. That's the first stroke of 12. I wonder what's keeping the new tenant. Little fella should be here by now.
Don't worry, he'll show up.
Now, before I leave, Sam, here's a little tip for you. Keep your shirt on, but your sleeves rolled up, and everything will be all right.
Don't worry, old-timer. They can push Uncle Sam just so far. Then he starts pushing back.
I know, Sam, but you're going to need a lot of things to push with. So keep your factories humming. People have to work a little harder and do without a few things, but they did it before, and they can do it again. Well, time's a-fleetin', but I can't leave till that little shaver gets here.
That must be him now.
Yeah. Come in. Yep, it's the little New Year. Hello, son.
Hello, old-timer. Isn't he cute?
Yeah, I bet he don't weigh much more than Sinatra.
Come here, sonny. I want you to meet Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia.
Glad to know you, folks.
Hello, sonny.
Hi, bub. Make yourself to home.
And say, I almost forgot. This is the world. Want you to meet him, too.
Hello, son.
Hello. So he's the world, huh?
Yes, sir.
Gosh, there's enough room on him for everybody.
Well, there should be, and yet... Oh, I don't quite understand it myself. Well, it's getting late, and I'll have to be moseying along, son, but there are a few things you ought to know.
What is it, old-timer?
Well, the most important thing I want you to remember is to take good care of Uncle Sam here. You ain't going to have no picnic, 51. You may get some complaints about high prices and taxes.
Gee, I'm a little discouraged already.
Oh, I wouldn't be too discouraged. It looks bad, but some good things are happening. Some people are beginning to understand each other a little better. A couple of weeks ago, a fellow called Ralph Bunch, grandson of a slave, went to Stockholm to pick up his Nobel Peace Award. Take good care of him, sonny. We need men like that.
I will.
Then there's some more fellas I want you to take care of. You'll hear about them. Ike Eisenhower and Douglas MacArthur. They've been helping Sam for a long time. There's some others, too. Sam will tell you who they are, won't you, Sam?
I sure will.
The reason I'm mentioning this, sonny, is because I want you to be a little more careful than I was. See, I lost some mighty good boys while I was here. One of them just recently. A fellow named Walton Walker. He was a general and a darn good one, too. And then there were thousands of others who weren't generals and weren't even officers. Just plain GIs. But they're all doing their job for Uncle Sam. Weren't they, Sam?
Yep. I'll never forget them.
Then there was another fellow we lost during my time.
Was he a soldier, too?
Well, you could call him that. Sort of a singing soldier. Used to go around entertaining everybody. Singing songs and telling jokes, making people happy. I wish you could have seen him.
He was good, huh?
Good? Why, son, when he'd get down on one knee and sing about his mammy, the people would stand up and cheer. And after he sang and sang and sang and you thought he was all through, he'd look right at you and say, "You ain't heard nothing yet." There's the 11th gong.
Gee, I feel older already.
Well, you got a big responsibility, son. Just as soon as I go, it's all yours. Well, I guess I'll be on my way. Gosh, I hate to go. There's so many things I wanted to do. But you're young and strong, and I guess I'm leaving it in good hands. Goodbye, son.
Goodbye.
So long, Sam. So long, Columbia.
Goodbye, old-timer.
Goodbye, 1950.
So long, world. Keep smiling.
Back. We'll be back in
in just a moment. But first, let's throw our cares to the winds and join a happy New Year's party.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
The bells will ring, the whistles blow to celebrate this night. So let's all light a lucky strike and start the new year right.
I'm Father Time, I'm leaving soon, so take my tip on parting for milder smoking all year through by Lucky's by the carton.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, enjoy your cigarette. If you're not happy with your present brand, and a 38-city survey shows that millions of smokers are not, smoke Lucky Strike. With every Lucky you light, you always get the happy blending of perfect mildness and rich, true taste that fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, can give you. And remember, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So for all the deep-down smoking enjoyment you want and deserve in a cigarette, be happy, go lucky. Yes, in 1951, make every carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Good night, everybody, and a happy new year from all of us.
Happy new year, everybody!
Happy new year!
Be sure to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. Transcribed, this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Tonight, throughout the world, millions of people are ushering in the new year. Some are celebrating it with their families, some are going to nightclubs, and others are spending a quiet evening at home with a few intimate friends. The latter is the case with Phil's and Alice's sponsor, Mr. Scott. As we look in, Mr. Scott and his wife are checking their guest list.
Are you sure you took care of all the invitations for our party, Clyde?
Yes, I did, Myrtle. I mailed an invitation to the Bennets, the Peppers, the Newroths, and the Ackmans.
How about the invitation to Phil Harris?
I dropped that down the sewer like we planned.
Oh, you didn't, really?
No, no, I mailed him an invitation. I sent it to Phil Harris, 176 Spruce Street, Kansas City, Missouri.
But Clyde, Phil Harris lives in Encino, California.
Know what I'm doing every minute.
Well, you shouldn't have done it. I'd like very much to have Mrs. Harris here.
So would I. She's a lovely person.
And Mr. Harris isn't such a bad sort.
No, I guess he's all right if you can stomach that sort of thing. I really don't mind Harris so much, but I just can't stand that ghoul that's always with him.
Ghoul? Oh, of course. Mr. Remley.
Do me a favor, Mert. The next time we're having a party, don't put Harris's name on the guest list.
Well, don't blame me. You're the one who mentioned the party to him, and I felt obligated to send an invitation.
Oh, well, I'd better go up and put my tuxedo on. The guests will be arriving in an hour.
Well, don't upset yourself about Mr. Harris. He won't get the invitation, so he won't be here.
Let's have a drink to that.
I don't want to stay home on New Year's Eve. It's 7 o'clock already. Let's plan to go someplace.
Now sit where you are. We're not leaving this house until we get an invitation to Mr. Scott's party.
But, Phil, you've been expecting it all week. You've been sitting around in your tuxedo since Tuesday.
Don't exaggerate. I only put it on when I got up this morning.
Well, what makes you so sure you're going to be invited?
Oh, I saw Scotty the other day, and he told me about the party and practically invited me.
What do you mean, practically invited you?
Well, I happened to be in his office the other day, and I peeked over his shoulder and saw him making out his guest list. And I said, I don't see my name on there. And he said, it ain't because you're nearsighted. And I laughed, and he laughed, and, well, it's obvious.
What's obvious?
He didn't say I shouldn't come. Alice, I know he's inviting us. There must be an invitation in the mail.
But it's Sunday. There's no delivery today.
Well, then he'll send us a telegram.
Well, you've been calling Western Union all day, and there's no message for you.
Well, he'll find some way to get in touch with us.
Look out the window. Maybe he's sending up smoke signals.
Well, if it isn't my favorite brother-in-law, Tallulah Fayhead.
Stop kidding yourself, Philip. Mr. Scott is not going to invite you. He doesn't want you at his party.
He doesn't want me?
No.
Are you kidding, Baxter? I make any party I go to. And if you don't believe me, ask any member of the Musicians Union. I'm known as the Pearl Mesta of Local 47.
Poor Alice. She hasn't been invited any place since she married you.
Now, what are you talking about?
When Alice was a star in pictures, she was invited everywhere. She had a date with one of her leading men every night. Men like Thomas Meehan, Wallace Reed, and Lou Cody.
Not to mention J. Warren Carrigan and Snub Pollard.
How about William Farnham and Richard Bothell?
All right, already. That was before my time.
Look, Willie, Alice gets to go out plenty since she married me. Maybe we don't go out with the movie crowd, but we get a lot of invitations from my friends. Only last week, we attended a formal three-cushion billiard exhibition at the home of Side Pocket Sam.
Side Pocket Sam?
That's right. He's the Beverly Hills socialite and schnooker expert. And a lovely party it was, wasn't it, Alicia?
Oh, yes. Yes, especially the dinner. I asked a man at the head of the table to pass me the meatballs.
What happened?
He chalked up, broke them, and everybody got one except me.
Alice, I'm sure that Mr. Scott would... Uh-oh, maybe that Scotty came over to invite us personally. I'll get it. Hiya, Scotty, we'll be glad to come to you. Oh, it's you, Remley. How are you?
Oh, my poor head. I'll never do it again. I'll never touch another drop as long as I live. Oh.
Well, you kicked off early this year, huh, Bub? You must feel terrible.
No, I feel great.
Then what are you doing?
Practicing for tomorrow morning.
Well, why do you have to say it tonight?
Because I ain't going to be in no condition to remember it tomorrow.
What are you doing tonight, Frankie?
It depends. What are you doing?
I'm going to a party at Mr. Scott's house.
That's good enough for me.
Frankie, you haven't been invited.
What's that got to do with it? I haven't been invited to some of the best parties I ever attended. I'll be glad to go with you, Curly.
I'll be glad to have you go, except for one thing. I haven't been invited yet either.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'll have to go without you. I'll call you tomorrow morning and let you know how it was.
Hello, Frankie.
Oh, hello, Alice. I hear you're going to Mr. Scott's party.
No, I'm not. I haven't been invited.
I know more people that haven't been invited to this party. Mr. Scott hasn't asked anybody. I wonder if he asked Mrs. Scott. I just can't understand why he didn't ask me.
Frankie, after the way you behaved at Mr. Scott's last party, you will never be invited to his house again.
Why? What did I do?
When you were leaving, you grabbed Mrs. Scott, swept her into your arms, bent her over backwards, and kissed her on the lips.
That was an accident. I thought she was the maid. Well, if we're going to Scott's, let's go, huh?
We're not going. Phil, let's make a reservation someplace, huh?
Okay, okay. Where do you want to go, honey?
How about Ciro's? That's where we spent our first New Year's Eve together. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, that was 10 years ago. Gee, it was romantic. The moon was bright. The band was playing softly.
And you were singing our song, The Thing.
It wasn't The Thing, and besides, you were the one that was singing to me. You were singing that beautiful ballad that I taught you. The marching song of the Confederate Army. Sing it again, will you, Minnie Pearl?
Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the moment we kissed tonight,
doo-doo,
that's the way I just got to behave.
Doo-doo.
Boy, if I were a lamp, I'd light.
Doo-doo.
Or if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me with my quiet upbringing.
Doo-doo-doo.
Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring, boy. Or if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Ask us how do we feel from this chemistry lesson we're learning.
Well, all right, boys, how do you feel?
Well, dear, all we can say is if we were a bridge, we'd be burning.
Ooh, I knew my morale would crack.
You gotta be careful.
From the wonderful way that he looked.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're fondly caressing.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, if I were a salad, I just know I'd be splashing my dressing.
Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Or if I were a bell, I'd go. If I were a bell, I'd go. If I were a bell, I'd go.
Ah, honey, that was beautiful. Brings back memories to me.
To me, too. That was the night of the proposal.
Yeah. I'll never forget the way your face lit up when I said yes. Look, honey, if we're going to Ciro's, you better go up and get ready.
Okay, honey, I'll be right down.
Hey, Curly, why spend a lot of money at Ciro's when we can go to a free party at Scott's house?
Look, Remley, for the last time, I keep telling you, we didn't get an invitation.
You give up too easy. Maybe the man's been trying to get you on the phone and can't. Why don't you call him?
Yeah. Yeah. The least I can do is call and find out if he's been trying to get me.
Sure.
Huh? Give me that phone.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to invite myself. I'm just going to find out if he's been trying to reach me.
Hello?
Hello, is Mr. Scott there?
Speaking. Who's this?
This is Phil Harris.
So, Sally, you have a long number. Chickenly lonely.
Last time I called him, he was a German delicatessen. I wouldn't mind so much, but his dialects are so lousy. Now look, Mr. Scott, I know it's you, and I'm going to keep calling you until you run out of those corny dialects.
Oh, nuts, he's got me. What do you want, Harris?
Well, I just heard you've been trying to get in touch with me all day. Is that right?
No, it isn't.
Well, let me put it this way. The operator just called me and said that you've been trying to reach me on the phone since early morning.
The operator said that?
Yes, she did.
Well, you call her back and tell her she's a big, fat liar. What's on your mind, Harris?
Well, Mr. Scott, being it's New Year's Eve, I thought that maybe you and Mrs. Scott would like to... go out with Alice and me.
We can't. We're having a party.
You are? Well, there's nothing like having a party and inviting your friends over to the house, I always say. Yes, sir. That's what I always say, and I wonder how long I'm going to have to keep saying it before he thinks.
Harris, I don't know what you're talking about.
Bremley, he ain't taking the hint.
You ain't handling it right, Curly. Let me talk to him.
Okay, but be subtle about
it. Yeah. Hello, Mr. Scott. This is Frankie Remley.
What a disgusting way to start a conversation. What do you want, bunghead?
That's no way to talk to a man who's going to be a guest at your house tonight.
Remley, listen to me and listen closely. I'm having a nice, quiet gathering for a few intimate friends. You are not included in my plans. I want no part of you. And if you dare come within 100 yards of my place, I'll cut you down with a high-powered elephant gun.
Just for that, I got a good mind not to show up.
What did he say, Frankie? What did he say?
He's begging us to come now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mr. Scott, we'll all be over in an hour, and thanks for the invitation. Goodbye, Scotty.
Hello, Remley. Hello. Remley. I tell you, I don't want you... Oh, well, if he shows up, I can always poison his drink.
Oh, dear. Why, Clyde, you look terribly upset. What's wrong?
Brace yourself, Myrtle. I have terrible news for you. We're on the brink of disaster.
Oh, Clyde, don't tell me the stock market crashed and you're wiped out.
Oh, if it was only that simple. This is much worse. Remley is coming to our party.
Oh, no. Well, what are we going to do?
I don't know. He's on his way over now, and I... Myrtle... Do you think we can pack and be ready to move in an hour?
Don't be ridiculous. Why don't we just turn the lights out? If he thinks nobody's home, he'll go away.
Not Remley. He'll break in.
Well, he's never been here. Maybe he won't find the place.
No, the Harrises have our address, and they... Wait a minute. They may have our address, but they've never been to the house. If I could take the number off our house and put it on Mr. Sweeney's house...
But, darling, Mr. Sweeney's the sheriff.
Yes. I can't think of a better house for Mr. Remley to break into. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get busy changing numbers.
All right, dear. And just in case he happens to find our house, I'll make preparations for his arrival. I'll lock up the silverware and I'll have the guests put their valuables in the wall safe.
And put my elephant gun in the vestibule.
Hey, Alice, if you're all ready, we can start going over to the Scotts.
Phil, are you sure Mr. Scott invited us?
Oh, he was very insistent, wasn't he, Frankie?
Oh, yeah. He said he'd be very hurt if we didn't show up. He threatened to shoot himself with an elephant gun.
So, come on, Alice, let's hurry, let's go.
All right, if you... Phil, what have you got under your arm?
My music. When I'm called upon to sing, I want to be prepared.
How do you know the Scots will ask you to sing?
Oh, doll, how can you talk like that? They're sure to ask me to sing, but in case they don't, I'll suggest it. I'll ask Mr. Scott if he wants me to sing, and before he has a chance to say no, I'll be into the song like this. Young Johnny Jones, he had a cute little boat, and all the girlies he would take for a float. He had girlies by the score, sweet little peaches on the shore. But Johnny was a Weisenheimer, you know. His steady girl was Flo. And every Sunday afternoon, they'd jump in his boat and they would spoon. And then he'd row, row, row. Right up that river he would row, row, row. A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when. He'd fool around and fool around, and then he'd kiss again, and then he'd row, row, row. A little further he would row, just he and Flo. With her head on his chest, he'd take a few measures rest, and then he'd row, row, row. In Johnny's boat he had a cute little seat, And all the kisses that he stole were so sweet. And he knew just how to row. He was a rowing Romeo. He had an island where the trees were so grand. He knew just how to land. Then tales of love he'd tell to Flo until it was time for them to go. And he'd row, row, row. On up that river he would row so slow. A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when he'd fool around and fool around, and then he'd kiss her. A little further he would row, just he and Flo. Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores, and then he'd row, 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 just he and Florence. Row, row, row right into heaven. Row, row. He had no Johnson motor, so Johnny and Flo would row, row, row. Hey, Alice, we ought to be pretty close to Scotty's house now. What was his number again?
1300.
Well, I'll drive slow and you watch the numbers, Remley.
Okay. Let's see, this is 751, 753, 755, 1300. There it is.
I don't get this. There's something wrong.
Well, what's wrong? I thought we did that very good.
Well, the numbers jumped from 755 to 1300, and an even number on the odd side of the street.
Well, you know Beverly Hills. They gotta be different. Come on, let's get out, huh?
Hey, Bill, I don't see any lights in the house. If they're having a party, why are the lights out?
Maybe they're necking.
If they are, I get first crack at the maid.
Wait a
minute. Oh, Bill! Bill, look, there's a police car in the driveway.
A police... Hey, Remley, did the cops know you were coming to this party?
Don't be a wise guy. They're not here for me. Must be Mr. Scott's parole officer.
Yeah. Well, come on, let's hurry in. Boy, I can't wait to get started in that
now,
party.
Now, fellas, I want you to behave yourselves because the...
Pardon me, could you tell me where to find a Scott's house? I got some... Oh, hello, Mr. Harris.
Hey, it's Julius. Hey, right in here, kid. Hey, old Jill, huh? Don't tell me you were invited to this party, too.
Nah, I'm just making a delivery. I got 4 cases of drinks for the Scott's party.
Hey, around. Hey, Lefty, did you hear that? 4 cases of this stuff.
Yeah, 2 for each of us.
Hey, what kind of stuff did they order, kid? Old whipping post or tiger's breath?
Better than that.
What could be better? Now, what did they order, kid?
Cherry pop, cream soda, and celery tonic.
Oh, I could see we're in for a gay time.
I hope we're not too late for the first minuet.
Julius, why are you wearing a tuxedo?
Well, this is my last delivery. I'm going to a party from here. You know, this is the first time I ever wore a tuxedo. How do I look in this monkey suit?
Like a monkey?
Bill, I think he looks very cute. Do you have a date tonight, Julius?
Yeah. And guess who I got a date with?
I don't know, but I'll bet she's the best-looking camel in Beverly Hills.
She's not a camel, but you're close.
That's no way to talk about a girl you're dating.
Well, I didn't want to date her. It's my cousin. My mother's making me take her out.
Oh? What does she look like?
Oh, you ought to see her. Oh, she a girl. Is she a girl? That's the first question everybody asks.
Well,
Julius. If you don't like the dame, what are you taking her out for?
She's got money. She's a debutante.
Oh, a society girl. Is her name in Who's Who?
No, but they got a picture in Watch This. Well, I better get this stuff into Mr. Scott's.
Yeah, yeah, we better get in that party, too, before it's all over. Come on.
Now, Frankie, watch your manners tonight. Don't do what you did at the last party we took you to.
What did I do wrong? All I did was drink champagne out of a lady's slipper.
I know, but you're not supposed to go around measuring which one has the biggest foot.
Hey, nobody answered yet. Ring the bell again.
Oh, Phil, this is very strange. There are no lights on, nobody answers the door. Are you sure we have the right house?
Certainly, this is number 1300. Maybe they're in another room and can't hear us. I'll try that door. Uh-oh, it's locked.
Step aside, I'll get us in.
Frankie, if the door's locked, how are you going to get us in?
Fortunately, I brought my axe. Stand back, everybody.
Frankie, you can't batter the door down.
Oh, don't be so formal.
Phil, I think maybe we ought to go home.
Honey, we can't do that. If we don't show up, the Scots will be insulted. Now, what was that?
I don't know. I just happened to lean against the window with my axe and the pane splintered.
Cheap glass.
I guess so.
Well, look, as long as the window's broken... Hey, Julius, as long as that window's broken, why don't you crawl in that front door for us, huh?
Okay.
Phil, I don't think we're doing the right thing.
Please, Alice, let us handle this. They were nice enough to invite us to the party. The least we can do is to make an effort to get in.
Okay, the door's open. Come on in and watch your step.
Phil, I don't like the looks of this. The room is pitch dark.
Mr. Harris, did the Scots know that you and Mr. Rimley was coming?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a booby trap.
I'm going to turn the light on.
Hey, this is a nice room. And look what's on the desk.
What?
A gun, a pair of handcuffs, and a sheriff's badge.
Isn't that cute? Scotty's playing hoppy again.
Oh, there's the doorbell. Must be some more of the guests. Come in.
Why, it's Mr. and Mrs. Scott.
Oh, Mrs. Harris, thank goodness we got here in time.
In time, she says. You're 2 hours late for your own party.
Yeah, where have you been, Mrs. Scott?
Mr. Harris, my husband has a confession to make. Go ahead. Tell them, Clyde.
Oh, very well. Harris, I did something tonight that my wife tells me I'm ashamed of. You see, this house we're in isn't...
All right, everybody, stay where you are and put your hands up.
Mr. Sweeney!
What are you people doing here?
Look, Mr. Sweeney, I can explain this.
Don't move or I'll put a hole through you.
Yes, sir.
Don't let him bluff you, Scotty. Jump him and take his gun away.
If he tries it, I'll shoot him.
I'd like to see you. You can't talk that way to our boss.
The boss, huh? So, you're the leader of this mob.
Wait a minute, Mr. Sweeney. I happen to be a respectable citizen of this community. Surely you've seen me around?
Yes, and I always figured a guy with a face like yours couldn't make his money honestly.
Don't you dare talk to my husband that way!
Tell Ma Barker to button her lip.
You can't scare us. Let's rush him, Rimley.
Yeah, we'll take him apart.
You two take one step and I'll plug you.
You mean if these guys take one step, you'll kill them?
Yeah.
Mr. Rimley, Mr. Harris.
What?
On your mark, get set, go!
Julius, stop pushing.
Get away from us. Come on, Rimley, let's take him.
Don't do it, Harris. You're making a mistake.
You hit him high, Rimley. I'll hit him low.
Harris, it's the sheriff!
That was quite a brawl.
Certainly was. You two fellas are the
worst...
Oh,
honey, now don't be a sorehead. It was all in fun. After all, it's New Year's Eve and you... Hey, it's 12 o'clock. It's the New Year. Happy New Year, everybody! Should all acquaintance be forgot and never...
Hey, you!
What?
No singing in the patrol wagon.
Oh, Sheriff, don't be a wet blanket. It's New Year's Eve, and it's a happy occasion, and everybody wants to sing. Alice, Frankie, Julius, and how about you, sir?
Don't talk to me, Harris. A man of my importance in a patrol wagon. This is the first time a thing like this has ever happened to me.
Oh, no, it isn't, Clyde. Don't you remember the time they raided that burlesque show and you were...
Oh, button your lip, Ma!
Come on, everybody. Let's all be happy and sing.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
Well, tonight the old year goes out and the new one comes in. Let's all hold faith for this new year that the way for peace will be found. But if not found, let America be strong and not be found wanting.
Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper, then Theater Guild on NBC.
Well, hello again. Welcome to another great episode of The Jack Benny Show. They don't get much better than this. This episode just really has a lot in it. And then please listen to the very end, because Jack will come on and talk about 1945 being the year of victory and what he looked forward to for 1946 and future years for world peace. And it's just really... always very touching to me to hear Jack come out and seriously talk about the events of the world. He does this a few times on his show, and this is one of those times. So please stay tuned for that at the end of the episode. The other thing is, this is kind of another... I talked on Sunday about how I like the new Tenet episodes, and this is a very important new Tenet episode. But they do a different variation on it, and you'll hear how it's a little different than the regular New Tenet episodes. It's just kind of a fun little twist on that formula. Anyway, enjoy this episode, and join us again on Thursday for, of course, the episode from 1940, that is 70 years ago. And then join us again starting this week on Saturday nights. We'll have Jack Benny again. And soon, in the next month or so, we'll start having episodes that are exactly 75 years ago to the day. Not to the day, necessarily, to the week, anyway. So we'll start our weeks on Sunday with the episodes that are 60 years old, and then Tuesday with the episodes that are 65, like today's. And then Thursday for the episodes that are 70 years old. And then we'll wrap up the week on Saturday nights with the episodes that are 75 years old. Sort of keep going back in time through the week. And then hit Sunday again, we're back to the episodes that are 60 years old. So kind of fun. Anyway, we will see you next time. Have a great week.
The Jack Benny Program.
LSMFT. LSMFT, LSMFT.
Of course. That's it.
Right you are.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
At 47, American.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And speaking of tobacco, here's what Mr. John William Hill, Jr., independent tobacco buyer of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, said.
I've seen Lucky Strike buy ripe, naturally mild tobacco. And I know that when this tobacco goes into a cigarette, it means real smoking enjoyment. So when it comes to buying a cigarette for myself, I naturally add these things together and choose Lucky's.
Quote, I've seen Lucky Strike buy ripe, naturally mild tobacco.
unquote. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, the contest ended at midnight December 24th. However, there were so many people that couldn't stand Jack Benny, it will take a couple of weeks to finish reading all the letters, and the winners will be announced shortly afterwards. So let's go out to Jack's house in Beverly Hills, where we find Jack, Mary, and Rochester busily sorting the latest entries.
Gosh, the way this mail has been pouring in the last few days.
Yeah, there sure is a lot of it, boss.
Yes, sir. Quiet, Polly. Daddy's working. Look at this mail. It's absolutely amazing how many people can't stand me.
Yeah, and Jack, look at this pile of letters over here. 48,000 of them are all from St. Joe.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. There must be some mistake. They love me in St. Joe. You remember when I was there last year, they put up a statue of me in the public park.
Well, they're sending it back. There's a hunk of granite in each envelope.
Oh, Mary, you're just making that up.
No, I'm not. Here's a note in one of the letters.
What does it say?
We're sending back all of Mr. Benny's statue except the ears. We're keeping those for bird baths.
Let me see that note. It doesn't say that at all. Gee, it does at that. What am I going to do with all these pieces of my statue?
Why don't you glue them together and set it out on your front lawn?
No, I'd look silly out on the lawn without any ears.
Well, maybe a couple of snails will crawl up and go to sleep in the right places.
No, you can't depend on it. Well, come on, let's try.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Polly, Christmas is over. And I got to teach her to say Happy New Year. Polly, now listen, Polly. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
No. It's Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
No, Polly. Now listen. Listen, Polly. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Come on now, Polly, say it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Atta girl. Isn't it wonderful how you can train a Mary?
It sure is.
And now, Polly, a very Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Smart parrot.
Well, she's just a little nervous since I told her that the carrier pigeon she's engaged to is coming back from overseas. He'd be here now, but he couldn't get a train out of San Francisco. He may have to fly. Now, let's see. We gotta finish sorting the... Rochester, why did you tear up that letter?
This one was a mistake, boss. It said, I can't stand Rochester.
Who signed that?
The gas man.
Well, we haven't heard from him in about 5 years. Mary, what are you laughing at?
Forget this letter. I can't stand Jack Benny because he plays the violin. Signed, a dead cat.
That's probably from somebody. Probably from somebody who doesn't like me.
Could be.
Certainly, huh?
Oh, boss, you won't believe it.
What is it, Rochester?
Here's a letter from the Big Three.
The Big Three? Well, what does it say?
We couldn't stand Jack Benny before the contest. Signed, Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Oh, they just think they're smart because they're on the way to Palm Springs. Anyway, there's the phone.
I'll get it.
No, Rochester, you stay with the mail. I'll have Nottingham answer it.
Nottingham? Jack, have you still got that English butler around here? I thought you only hired him for last week to impress the Colemans.
Well, we're so busy with the mail, I kept him on to help out. Nottingham, answer the door. Isn't he classy? He even puts on his coat to answer the phone. Nottingham, who was that?
The servant maid, Lady Lowell.
All right, Mary, now we'll have...
Jack, what did Nottingham say?
He said my lawyer was on the phone.
I thought he said the grocer.
No, no, Mary. Grocer is growful. He used to confuse me at first, too. You know?
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Libby. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Phil. Glad you came over.
Say, Phil, did you have a nice Christmas?
Well, Lib, I got a lot of presents. And look at this. Here's what the boys in my band gave me.
What is it?
Well, it's one of them new fountain pens, and it's guaranteed to write 2 years without having to refill it.
Well, what good is it to you? You can't write.
A lot of things can happen in 2 years, Bob.
Yeah, I hope so.
And while I'm thinking of it, Jackson, I want to thank you for the present you gave me.
Well...
What was it, Phil?
A pair of black and pink lounging pajamas with a bare midriff. And they're a little snug, but I wore them all day.
Phil, those were for Alex. A bare midriff.
Well, surely Alice must have known those pajamas were for her.
Yeah, but I look so cute in them, she just hated to tell me.
Oh, brother.
Say, Libby, what did Jackson give you for Christmas?
I gave her a fur muff. There it is over on the chair there. It's sable.
It's rabbit.
It is not, it's sable.
Rabbit. I wore it at the farmer's market yesterday, and it snapped at a head of lettuce.
Well, a lot of sables are vegetarians, too. Believe me, Phil, the muff I gave Mary is sable.
It's rabbit.
Would I pay $19 for rabbit? Would I?
You wouldn't pay $19 for $20.
I would, too. Now, Phil, as long as you're here, stick around and help us read some contest letters.
Jackson. You know better than that.
All right, then open the envelopes. At least you've got muscle. Come on, open the envelopes. Gosh, I never saw so many contest letters. Take 2 weeks before at least before we can finish reading them.
Hey, Jackson, listen to this letter.
Phil, stop showing off. We know you can't read.
This one's got pictures on it.
Oh.
Now, the first 6 words must be, I can't stand Jack Benny because.
Yeah?
And then there's a picture of your face and the body of a jackass.
There is?
Yeah. You know, Jackson, if you didn't need to shave that jackass, it'd look pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, boss!
What is it, Rochester?
Nottingham would like to see you.
Well, have him come in here.
He can't at the moment. He's indisposed. He's standing in the kitchen in his shorts and socks.
My goodness, what happened?
Well, after lunch, we decided to idle away a few minutes in a game of chance.
Rochester, you didn't gamble with Nottingham.
Uh-huh, I won everything but his English accent.
What?
I'd have got that, but he wouldn't open his mouth.
Well, I think that's awful. Imagine leaving him standing there in his BVDs.
I got an IOU on those.
Well, I want you to go in there and give Nottingham his clothes back.
Okay.
Imagine anybody doing
that. Hi, Rochester.
Hello, Miss Wilson.
Hey, Don.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
No, Polly. Polly, it's Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy?
That's it. Happy?
Happy?
Happy what?
Happy what?
I wish that carrier pigeon would get here. Don, how did you happen to be around this neighborhood?
Well, I just wanted to drop in and thank everybody for their Christmas gift.
Hey, Donzie, what did Jackson give you?
Well, Jack didn't give me anything for Christmas because he gave me a birthday present and he thought my birthday was too close to Christmas.
When is your birthday, Don?
The 23rd of August.
Well, what did Jack give you for your birthday?
A rabbit's foot.
No wonder my muff limped.
Never mind. And as long as we're on the subject of presents, what about that gift you kids all chipped in and bought me?
Well, we thought it was a good idea, Jackson. Something you could use.
Something I could use. A fluorescent toupee so people can see me at night. When I sing Rise and Shine, I'm not kidding. Some gift.
Merry Christmas.
Polly, it's Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm going to train that bird if I have to
get... Jack, not with a whip and a chair.
I'll talk to him when we're alone.
Say, Jack, I'm kind of thirsty. May I have a glass of water?
A glass of water? Sure, sure, Don. Go right out in the kitchen.
Okay, thanks. Oh, kiss me once and kiss me twice and LSMFT. It's such a great, great smoke. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so easy on the draw. It's such a great, great smoke. Lucky's have tobacco that is milder. It's wonderful the way I make this rhyme. Boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
Hey, kids, listen to Don.
So smoke it once and smoke it twice and smoke it once again. You'll have a grand, grand time.
He means with Lucky.
Grand, grand time.
Don, that was wonderful. I didn't know you could sing like that.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mary.
Kid,
hello, kid. When'd you get here?
Well, I came in right in between smoke it once and smoke it twice.
Well, I'm glad you came over. You can help us with the mail.
Well, I have to run along. I just dropped by to wish you a Happy New Year.
Oh, same to you, kid. By the way, Larry, I got a lot of compliments on your song last week.
Well, thank you. I've got another one I'm working on for next week.
You have? Well, come on, let's hear it.
Yeah, sing it for us, Larry. Come on.
Okay.
Smoke it once and smoke it twice.
Holly, Larry's going to sing now.
I waited for you. But then, what else could I do? Yes, there were one or two I used to date with. But they always knew I used them to wait with. I'm glad I waited for you. I'm glad my heart.
That was swell, Larry. I'm glad you picked that one. Now, kids, let's try and get the rest of this contest mail finished so we can try... Nottingham, answer the door.
Hello,
Hello, hello, hello. Bradley's the name. Steve Bradley. I'm Mr. Benny's press agent, and I'm here to see him.
Hello, George. Hello, George. Mr. Benny's bringing you on.
What'd he say?
Hello, George. Hello, George. Mr. Benny's bringing you on.
Well, thanks, and a happy new year to you, too. Yeah, how's your writing to see Benny?
Oh, it's you, Steve.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Long time no see. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Well, Ben, I guess you know why I'm here. The contest is over.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Now, all we have to do now is finish reading the letters, pick the winners, and then award the $10,000 in prizes.
$10,000? Steve. Look, Steve, wouldn't it be more sporting to forget about anything so commercial as money and keep the whole thing on an amateur basis? Wouldn't it? Huh? Wouldn't it?
Benny, are you crazy? You can't do a thing like that.
Well, I don't see why we...
Look, let me put it to you this way. Which do you value more, $10,000 or your reputation?
Better put it to him another way.
Oh, well, all right.
Attaboy, Benny, now just hand me over that $10,000 and I'll buy the victory bonds for the prizes.
But, Steve, we don't know the winners yet. We still got mail to read.
Yeah, I know, but you don't want anything to hold us up. I gotta go out now and buy those bonds and have them ready.
Okay, okay. I'll have to go down to my vault and get the money. Before I go, I want you all to repeat the oath after me. I promise not to reveal that Jack Benny has a secret vault hidden in his home.
I promise not to reveal that Jack Benny has a secret vault hidden in his home.
And if I should tell anyone, either consciously or unconsciously...
And if I should tell anyone, either consciously or unconsciously...
May I lose my umbrella during the rainy season. Now, everybody bow their heads while I... while I go down in the vault. Tore my pants on the barbed wire. Now I better be careful about those landmines.
Halt! Who goes there? Friend or foe?
Friend.
What's the password?
Greenberg's on third.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
That's right, Ed. And here's a little present for you.
A present for me?
Yes, Ed. Last week was Christmas.
Oh. Did you have a nice New Year's?
No, Ed. You see, it isn't New Year's yet. You see, New Year's comes after Christmas, you see?
Oh. Well, I've been away from it so long, I kind of forgot.
Oh, yes. You know, Ed, this year, things are going to be a lot better. They're starting to make automobiles again.
Automobiles?
Yes. Yeah, they're like buggies, you see, with motors in them. You know, you drive them down the street.
Well, won't they frighten the buffalo?
No. You see, buffalo are extinct. There are very few of them around anymore. Well, I got to get into my vault now.
Shall I turn my back?
No, Ed. You're bonded. Now, let's see. The combination is right to 45. Left to 160. Back to 15. Then left to 110. There. Glad the factories are reconverting. Now I'll be able to buy a louder burglar alarm.
Mr. Benny, how much money are you putting in?
I'm not putting anything in, Ed. I'm taking some out.
My, this is thrilling.
Well, so long, Ed. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Whoopee.
Well, goodbye. All right, Steve. Here's the money for the prizes.
Thanks, Benny. See you next week. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Steve. Happy New Year.
Well, kids, that's that. Just think, another year almost gone. Boy, how they roll around. Imagine, it'll soon be 1946. I wonder what the new year will bring. I wonder what new things will come out. Science is certainly wonderful. Heliocopters, jet propulsion, atomic energy. It's amazing. I wonder what they'll... it's kind of late. I wonder who that can be. Oh, hello.
Hello, you're Jack Benny, aren't you?
Why, yes, little boy. Who are you?
I'm the New Year.
The New Year?
But all the other little New Years have always come on January 1st. You're early.
Maybe he's trying to pick up a couple of tickets for the Rose Bowl game.
Don't be silly, Phil. Maybe there's something wrong with our calendar.
No, I came early because 1946 looks like it's going to be a good year. And I'm raring to go. Got a lot of work to do. Automobiles, prefabricated houses, vacuum cleaners, fluorescent toupees.
Oh, yes.
How about nylon stockings?
There'll be plenty of those.
Oh, good. I was lucky to get this pair I'm wearing. They make my legs look so nice. See?
Well.
Hey, this kid's really ahead of time.
Well. Look, Sonny, how about radio in 1946? That is, what I mean is television. What are my chances in television?
Would you really like to know?
Yes.
Sit down, Mr. Benny.
Thank you. Well, all right, kid, I can take it. I mean, tell me, what are my chances in television?
Well, first of all, tell me, how old are you, Mr. Benny?
Sit down, kid.
Quiet. What did you say, Sonny?
I said, how old are you?
37.
37?
That's a joke, son.
It is not. Now, what were you going to say about...
Oh, Jack, look out the window. There's an old man coming up the walk.
Yeah, and he looks like Father Time.
Father Time? What is this, anyway?
Hello!
Hey, you're not Father Time, are you?
Father Time? I don't know what you're talking about, bub. I'm looking for my grandson. I was told to come in here.
Oh, you mean...
He was supposed to be in the New Year's play the kids are giving at the schoolhouse, but they run away.
Oh, so that's it.
Hiya, Grandpa.
Oh, so there you are, you little shaver. Come on back to the schoolhouse. The people are waiting for the New Year. Come on, let's get going.
Get out of my ear.
Yeah, take it easy on the little fella.
I just told you, Bubby's my grandson. He's in a school play. He ain't the real New Year.
Well, he sure fooled me.
So he's going to be in the school play, huh? But isn't he a little old to be wearing those diapers?
He just got out of the army and he can't buy any clothes.
Oh, fine. Well, take him along then. Goodbye, Grandpa. So long, Sonny.
So long. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Sonny. Happy New Year.
What a cute kid. See, I remember when I was his age. I was in a little New Year's play at school, too. You know, I was so good...
Well, so long, Jackson. I gotta beat it.
Yeah, me too.
Happy New Year, Mr. Benny.
Happy New Year. Anyway, Mary, I was so good in this school play that I held the audience spellbound. In fact, just recently they made a picture of it, you know? I'll never forget how cute. I'll never forget how cute I was in that play. In fact, you know, that's what gave me the idea that someday I'd be
Well, I gotta go. Happy New Year, Jack.
Happy New Year, Mary. Anyway, I'll never forget it. Yeah, I walked out on the stage wearing a little pair of wings, and across my chest was a banner saying, Happy New Year, 1912. And when I spoke my first line...
Boss, who are you talking to?
Huh? Oh, they've all gone. Sit down, Rochester. Yeah, Rochester. I walked out on the stage and I looked so cute with my long curls and blue eyes and dimpled cheeks. And when I got all through, there was so much applause that the teacher came right over and kissed me. She said, Jackie, you're the best New Year's Eve we ever had. Ladies and gentlemen, while history will point to 1945 as the year of victory, 1946 will be the start of a new era. An era in which people the world over must live together in peace and mutual respect. We want a lot more than just battles in this war. We want a realization that all men everywhere want to live out their lives in peace and freedom. While there are many different points of view of how this peace should be secured, the important thing is that all mankind wants it, and it will be accomplished. There's no place for hate, greed, suspicion, and prejudice in a world that has the atomic bomb. The old era is dead, and 1946 is the beginning of the new one. The era of Wendell Willkie's One World. Happy New Year, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know the contest is over, but on account of the vast amount of letters that still have to be read, we will announce the winners as soon as possible. Now, Jack will be back in just a minute, but first, here's my good friend, F.E. Boone.
At 47, American.
Remember this. In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
That's right. L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. The finer, the lighter, the naturally milder Lucky Strike tobacco. This fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
Sure thing. L-S-M-F-T.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's programmer, Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49, American.
And Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. Basil Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
Happy New Year to everybody all over the world from all of us.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.